A look at the local high school sports scene, from coaches and athletes to a preview of this week's games. It's the Rudin Report on WICC. Now, your host, Dave Rudin.
Good morning and welcome to the Rudin Report Live. I'm Dave Rudin. A little bit of a different show. Usually it's football talk here, and we will be talking football, but Sean Ireland isn't going to join me until the second half hour. I wanted to do something a little different. We had a big week of FCAC championships, and I give a lot of attention on the Rudin Report to female sports. I haven't done it on the radio show, and we're going to rectify that right now, because joining me in a little bit is going to be Sophia Fidalgo Schiappa from the Staples field hockey team, who made one of the most unbelievable plays I've seen, not just in field hockey, but in sports. But kicking it off right now, one of the big games this past week, the New Canaan girls soccer team ended St. Joseph's streak of 59 games without a loss, ended their run hoping to get a three-peat with a fantastic win and penalty kicks. And joining me right now, the Rams defense was absolutely outstanding, and I wish I could have all four of their girls on. But picked a representative I know well, CeCe Patterson. CeCe, how you doing? CeCe?
Hello?
Oh, there you are. How you doing?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you now. I know we're going back a few days because you've already played a state game since, but First of all, what you've had time, obviously, to digest it. What about the FCAC championship game, and what did it mean to you and the team?
I mean, it meant so much. This New Canaan girls soccer hasn't won an FCAC title ever. I mean, they won it, I think, back in 2016 as like a dual win, but they never won it by themselves, so that's just huge to get another year on that banner in those gyms. But it means so much to this team. I mean, the community has, like, rallied behind us so much with all the youth at our games and all the support we've been getting. It was just so great to win and St. Joe's was such a great team. It was really a great game.
Yep, I was at that game. You guys have really come on. I mean, you guys lost two of your first three games. And then since then, just one loss, and it was to St. Joseph, 1-0, and it was on a late goal, so you played them very competitively. And I told people I thought you were going to beat Staples in the semifinal. I have to admit, I probably would have picked St. Joseph in the final, but in a close game. First of all, just talk about the defensive play. You guys were under a lot of pressure, and you held Cadets scoreless until the final 77 seconds of regulation time.
Yeah, I think like a big strength of our team is our defense, and I think a big like characteristic of our team is how athletic we are. So I mean, that kind of goes along with just like maybe we don't have that many like club soccer players unlike St. Joe's, but we have like so many athletic girls, and just the want on that team, especially on that St. Joe's games, like we made it here, like we can win this game, like we just wanted it so bad, and our defense, like we just played so hard, and like just being able to like have that desire and like love your teammates so much that like you just want to do it for them, just like being able to play that hard really helps our defense, and just to stay strong and be able to just outplay them just like that tiny bit.
What was the game plan going in? Obviously they possessed the ball and had more chances during regulation time. Some people were telling me, and I don't think this was really the plan, that you guys were going to try to play defensively and try to get the game to overtime and maybe penalty kicks. But you guys were getting transition attacks when you had the opportunity. Mm-hmm. What was the game plan? What did you guys think you needed to do to win?
Yeah, it was definitely not our game plan to be undefensible. But we really focused on some of their stronger players, especially on defense. We have some strong wingbacks who are also great defenders and are really fast and athletic. So we had them kind of hold back to guard their strong wingmen. And then we knew we could outplay them from the back because their defenders played pretty high. So we just had some sort of a plan. Like, I mean, we have Claire Grayson up top, and she's just incredible. So we definitely were trying to get it down and play through their back and get it over them, because if we could get their defenders to turn, to have to run towards their own goal, that was kind of golden. So we definitely tried those balls, and then just playing the through balls through their defense, which I think worked pretty well, was definitely a goal. And, I mean, their goalie played incredible, so that was definitely a large factor offensively, but I think we executed our game plan pretty well.
Yep, and let me make sure I give credit to the whole defense. Emma Rowe, Katie Kupchak, and Lila Donaldson are the other members of the back four with Chris Gabriel in goal. After you guys had played so well and everybody sort of anticipating a new Kanan victory, and then Alexa Pino, as she's done so many times before for St. Joseph, scores a big goal with a minute 17 to go. What's the mood like? Because obviously you have to be a little bit deflated, but you need to bounce back at the same time because you don't want to give up a second goal right away.
Yeah, obviously after that one, it was kind of like heartbreaking and deflating, because just like we worked so hard the whole game, and it's like, oh, like the last 2 minutes or the last minute, it was just like, oh my gosh, all that work, and now we're probably going to go into overtime. But we have such great leadership on our team, such great seniors who like stepped up, and we were all just like, we got this, guys. Like, we've been working so hard this whole game. Like, we are not going off and score again. Like, we learned from our mistake, and we just got to move on, kind of keep pushing, and that's what we did.
How much did it help? You've got, as you mentioned, a lot of good athletes and multi-sport athletes, and in particular, mm-hmm. you have a lot of good lacrosse players on the team. None more so than you. And last year, you guys were the fifth-ranked team in the country and won FCAC and state titles. How much did just the success that you're used to having in another sport help you in this game and help you so far this season?
Oh, a lot. It definitely helped us. A lot of the lacrosse girls, we've been in this position multiple times. We could remind our girls, like, I know we're nervous, but, like, this is a blessing to be here. This is why we play the sport. Like, these nerves are, like, important for our work, but, like, we got to make sure we're, like, playing hard and playing our own game. But I was in, honestly, a very similar situation last basketball season when we played St. Joe's in the FCAC finals. Similar season, we were the underdogs, and fortunately the results did not come out the same, but I just came into it with the same mindset, like, we're just going to go out and we're going to play our hardest, and we're going to be proud of ourselves no matter what the score is, no matter who wins, who loses. When we walk on the field, we're going to be proud of ourselves and proud of this tournament, and that's what we did. And then, like, so happy that we had this great leadership that was able to, like, kind of coach our team through the mental state of things, especially with all the lacrosse girls who have been through this before.
What about the state tournament now? You guys got off to a good start with a 7-2 win. I think you have a really, really good shot. You're seated a little bit lower only because of the three losses, but you guys got to be confident. You got a good chance to add a state title as well.
Yeah, we're so excited. We had a great game. Seven goals is a great start, especially, like, coming off of such a high. We want to make sure we're not, like, we got to make sure we're coming out with the same intensity that we did for those FCAC games. And I think that we really have, like, so many players step up in these games. Like, those seven goals were six different players. And that's just, like, so huge and, like, just says a lot about our chemistry and, like, how many different weapons we have on our team, which makes me so excited for this next season. I feel like each game we just get so much better, and we've learned so much from FCAC that, like, our confidence is higher. Everyone's, like, we ended on a good note, and we're excited for this next tournament.
For people who don't know, Cece's also one of the best lacrosse players, not just in the area, but nationally, and she's gonna be going to Notre Dame next year as a goaltender. And the thing that I think is really cool about Cece as well, and you don't see it a lot, especially in lacrosse where some people specialize, but she's a three-sport athlete that she mentioned. She played basketball. What's it like? Is it fun for you just to get away for a little while from the lacrosse and get to play other sports?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. It just gives me a break, and it helps me. I mean, I feel like playing as a sports has helped me so much with lacrosse, and also just like learning more about sports in general. Like playing this defensive position in soccer helps me like learn more about, you know, what my girls are doing in the lacrosse game, and basketball and lacrosse are so similar that it just like that IQ is so helpful, and just like staying active, staying athletic is just so helpful in my lacrosse game too.
I've gotten to know CeCe pretty well the last couple of years, and as you can tell right now, as classy a person as she is, a great athlete. So, CeCe, congratulations to you and the Rams on a great win. It was fun to watch you guys play so well and get the success. And best of luck in the state playoffs, and I'll be catching up with you soon.
Yep, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, that was CeCe Patterson of the New Canaan girls soccer team. When we come back, Sophia Fidalgo Scarapa of Staples Field Hockey. You're listening to the Rudin Report Live on WICC.
Teams, athletes, coaches, and everything that makes local high school sports great. Now, back to the Rudin Report on WICC with Dave Rudin.
We're back, and we're going to make the segue from soccer to field hockey, and you have to go see this play, and I just checked. It's gotten 416,000 views on my TikTok. She even passed her classmate at Staples, Adam Udell, and it was the shot in the play heard around the local field hockey world, and it's gotten national attention. And The cool thing is, with everything we're going to discuss, she's never used the word I in discussing her heroics. Staples field hockey star Sophia Fidalgo Scarapa. Sophia, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay, I'm going to try to get you to use the word I at least once during this interview. But first of all, what's it been like? You guys get a big break until the first state playoff game. I hope you haven't been playing. You haven't had to pay for any breakfast in Westport. Everybody there should be buying. Sherwood Diner should be buying you your breakfast for a while. What's it been like? And do people in Westport, field hockey doesn't get as much attention as other sports, realize what you did and what the team did?
Yeah, I mean, our community is just amazing. You know, it really values all the sports of the community, so maybe field hockey doesn't get as much recognition as other sports, but, you know, they still see the work we put in and the outcome we've gotten as well. And just, you know, in the school, all our classmates in the hallways, our teachers, the principal, the athletic directors, they're all, you know, supporting us. We even had one of my teammates, Tyler Oskin, she told us that she was in the supermarket with her, you know, Staples pinny on, and that like a couple people came up to her and told her congratulations on the win and everything. So it's just a great community to be a part of.
Okay, for the next minute or two, let's just forget your teammates. We'll give them their proper due, and they deserve a lot. Basically what happened on this play, and it went to a game in overtime, and once overtime comes, you go from 11 players to 7-on-7. And so yeah, there's a lot more running, and there's a lot players already exhausted. And Sophia basically going down right-handed, went 50 yards downfield and went and just absolutely on the run, smashed the left-handed shot. She actually kind of fell over after the shot, beat the goalie. And my photographer, Greg Vossel, got a tremendous shot of her sitting up with her arms raised triumphantly. But take me through, number one, do you know you're at that point that you're just going to run and try to make the play yourself and get the shot off?
Yeah, so first when I intercepted the ball, I just started running forward. And that's when I think you could see my face in the video. I was kind of looking around for my teammates and trying to see if anyone was open, but I couldn't really see anybody. And so I just started running straight. And at that point, I felt a defender on my back, and I also knew that there was some defenders coming up forward. And I didn't want to try and beat them inside because, you know, again, credit to those players. Like, they're very good, and composed and talented, and so I just wanted to see if I could keep going straight. And once I got there, I just pushed the ball a bit too far, which is why I had to kind of fall over to make that shot, and I ended up just, you know, going for it, shooting it, and yeah, I just saw the ball kind of come back out and the cheering, so I thought it went in.
I'm guessing you've watched the replay a few times?
Yeah. It's fun to watch. You know, it's just a great, like, moment overall. That it was, you know, the end of that, the championship, so.
Can you appreciate what a great play it is? Can you sit there and kind of marvel and just say, wow?
Yeah. I mean, I'm proud of myself and for, you know, that play. But I think it was just more the moment of it, if that makes sense. Like, it's the fact that we almost did lose. You know, we had 30 seconds to get it back. We ended up getting it back. Then just the fact that that was the end, that meant that we won. So I think it was more like what the shot meant than the shot itself, if that, you know, makes sense.
Yep, absolutely. And I don't know, I don't know if you've seen it all on my TikTok, all the views and people commenting on it, and you got all these field hockey players kind of chipping in and discussing it and commenting about what a great play it was. I don't know if you've seen what's gone on my TikTok or not.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's like a huge sport around the world. I think it's a little less popular in the U.S., but around the world, it's like one of the most, you know, played sports. So just trying to keep getting some action and spreading, you know, the sport around in the U.S. is just, yeah, really important.
And you even passed Adam Udell for second place. I'm going to have to joke with Adam next time.
Yeah.
I see him because I actually teased him about how many views his got.
Yeah.
And as Sophia just explained, her coach, Ian Tapsell, who's played and has international experience. And mm-hmm. when I saw the goal, I asked him to send it to me, and I texted with him to prep for this interview, and I said, you know, it's not the best play you've seen in high school, and he said not just high school, but on some higher levels as well. So it just kind of reinforces how great a play it is. And what's been overshadowed by all of this is Sophia actually scored the tying goal with 18 seconds to go. Just to give herself and the team the opportunity to get overtime on a penalty corner. And that followed Darianne scoring a goal to take the lead with 1:08 to go. So Darianne scores, and you guys have been undefeated in the state. You've only lost one game, and that was in a Northeastern tournament to a team from New Jersey. Mm-hmm. You guys have been beating up on everybody, not just winning, but you know, scoring 9-10 goals in a lot of games. Darianne scores with 1:08 to go to take the lead. What's the mood like?
I mean, of course, it's not what we wanted, but we were just kind of, I wasn't like down, but I'm also not going to lie and be like, oh, I knew we had it. That's not, you know, I just was kind of like, okay, there's 1 minute left. Let's just see what we can do. And our really great credit to our coach, Ian Tapsell, he just started telling Tyler to come up the field and try and work the ball with me to try and get it in the circle, maybe get a corner and an opportunity. And, you know, he never really gave up, which kind of gave the whole field, the whole team, the motivation to, you know, just see what else could happen. So she started dribbling up the field. We started making some passes. We ended up getting that corner up there. And then, yeah, we just had that corner, and I remember asking, like, what do I do? Because I heard the call that the ball was coming to me, and we had a lot of corners throughout the game that we weren't quite able to capitalize on. And my teammates just said, like, Sylvie, just shoot the ball, just shoot it. So I was like, all right, and I did that. I mean, it's hard to explain. It's kind of like I was calm, but I also wasn't fully, like, I knew the how important this moment was going to be and, you know, all the pressure on it. But I was also calm in a way and trusting, you know, all the preparation we've put into things like these.
What was the feeling like when you saw the ball go in and you knew with 18 seconds to go, you almost certainly were going to be going to overtime?
Just incredible, honestly. I mean, this team really just we've worked so hard every single season, and we're all so close, and we really all really wanted this. I mean, nobody on this team has won an FCAC title yet except for our coach, and especially for our seniors. Just we're all best friends, and it's kind of like a family, and just to know that we still had a chance, you know, going into overtime, we still had a chance to win this and have that medal around our necks was just incredible. But at the same time, there's a few pictures of me actually after I scored, so it was like happy moments, and then after I just kind of like went blank again, and I was like, wait, like it's time for overtime, we have to make sure we can still win this, we're still in it, we have the momentum, but we just have to focus now, it's not over yet.
As great as Staples has been, this was their first standalone FCAC title since 2011. Darien had won six straight titles, but Staples shared it in 2019, though they've had much better success in state tournament play. This is you're a great player. You're going to Princeton, and you've got a lot of great players on the team, Tyler and Emma Larratt. What's it like to be on a team with this much talent on it?
It's honestly great. We push each other to be better every single day, and it's just inspiring for every person also. Like every single morning that we have, maybe running or practice or just practice in general, and we just all want each other to be better, and I think that's what's great about this team. It's just very unselfish and motivating, and just, yeah, we learn from each other each and every day.
Has it been nice? Usually you don't want to take a long break. You'd like to get back playing on a normal schedule. But just how emotional that game was and the chance to enjoy it, has it kind of been nice that you've had this break so that you could kind of savor what you guys accomplished, what the play you made, and then be able to get right back into getting ready for the state tournament and hopefully a successful run there?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm a senior, so it's my last season. And I just don't want it to end. So I think, you know, having this break and being able to savor every minute, every practice, every day with my teammates and my coaches is just, you know, all I could ask for coming up into the final moments here. But we keep pushing, we keep practicing, making sure we take care of ourselves and our bodies. We know what's coming up now, and it's still going to be, you know, a hard battle. So, yeah, just making sure we prepare for that still.
We're finishing up here with Staples, Sophia Fidalgo, Scarapa. I want to, one thing before we finish, I kind of went back. My very first game as a high school sports writer, and I'm not going to say what year it was because I'm old, but it was a state championship, Greenwich-Darien state championship field hockey game. I had never seen a field hockey game before. And the game was played on grass, and all the girls wore kilt skirts. It was kind of not like it is now. And obviously, yeah, the rules have changed. You play on turf. Girls have so many opportunities to play on club teams and play year-round. The opportunity, if they just want to specialize, just to do that, or if they want to be, or if they're multi-sport athletes. Do you think, and we talk about it, field hockey probably in the grand scheme of things gets a little bit of a bum deal. Does that bother you and other players? And do you think people appreciate the athleticism needed to be a good field hockey player?
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, it's not as popular in the U.S. as it is around the world. But I know in Argentina, where, you know, my family's from, or in Europe, in the Netherlands, things like that, it is the number one sport of the country. And it just shows that it is important to a lot of other places, and it's still important here, but not, you know, as much as other sports, like we said, which, you know, there's always going to be one that's more favored than the other. But I mean, I just think it's important for the people who are doing it to just do it when they love it. And if, you know, more people want to join and try it out, I definitely encourage that. I think it's a great sport that can give you incredible opportunities and lead you to many different paths, and yeah, it's just incredible.
Well, I actually have on my social media Play of the Week contest, and we have a vote, but I'm not even putting it up for a vote. Sophia's going to win the play of the week, a little advanced news. It's not even fair after this play. I've been doing this a long time. As one of the best plays, not field hockey plays, one of the best athletic plays I've seen. And the fact that it was done after scoring a goal with 18 seconds to go in regulation is just one of the great performances. People who follow field hockey and people at Staples will be talking about it a long time. So, Sophia, congratulations. I'm glad you got the moment. I'm glad the team got the outcome. Thanks a lot for taking the time here, and I wish you guys and you the best of luck in the state playoffs.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And that's Staples Sophia Fidalgo Scarapa. And when we come back, Sean will be joining me, and we'll do football talk the rest of the hour. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
He knows everything you need to know about local high school sports. Back to the Rudin Report with Dave Rudin on WICC 695.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and again, I want to thank Cece Patterson and Sophia Fidalgo Scarapa. It's nice to give some different sports, and especially female sports, some well-deserved attention, and they certainly and their teams were most worthy of it. And now we'll go back to our usual football talk, which the way football is actually might be a little bit of a come down for me. And joining me is always Sean Ireland. Sean, how you doing?
Good, Dave. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. Hopefully you can offer me a little bit of excitement with football, because I feel like we're just biding time to the state playoffs. We had two games, I guess, of note, and the big one was Greenwich's 23-14 win over St. Joseph, which was a competitive game, not a great game, a little bit sloppy. It was a defensive battle. And then Darien's 35-26 win over Wilton. Anything that really stood out to you this weekend?
Yeah, what we talked about last week, like how would we rank the top five in the FCAC, I think it's kind of playing itself out now. Wilton, you just got a feel for them. You know, they're a small school playing in pretty much predominantly double L conference league, you know, and they're a good football team. You know, they beat the then number one ranked team in the state in Greenwich 2 weeks ago. You know, they had a little letdown against Duquesne, and then they were right on the doorstep to beat Darien. So, besides those games, you know, the Ludlow McMahon game was a good one. But you're right, Dave. Let's just get to Thanksgiving football. You know, looking at the schedule the next couple of weeks, like, man, there's not much there. So, you know, let's just get to Thanksgiving right now.
Yeah, I just feel like we're waiting for Thanksgiving and the state playoffs. There's not a lot of excitement. I mean, we'll have Staples St. Joe's next weekend, which I think St. Joe's can afford another loss and we'll still get in. So it's going to be a good game because it's between two good teams. But it's neither team, I think, is playing for its postseason life. And then you're going to have probably the best game that you possibly could have with non-top 10 teams, with Wilton and Ludlow. And that's largely because Ludlow with a win will probably get its first postseason appearance ever. You know, I don't know what to make of Greenwich right now. Credit to St. Joe, they're so injury beaten, injury depleted. Their quarterback H.T. Jones still in concussion protocol and had to sit out a game. Those kids are just so tough, and their defense was so aggressive. And Greenwich, just their offense really struggled. And two of their touchdowns were interception returns for scores. You know, the last one was literally a pass that looked like it was intended for the Greenwich player. And their third touchdown was on a muff punt that was recovered on the 3-yard line. So They didn't move the ball a lot. You know, Joe Delavecchia said he felt like they gave the game away. I'm not going to at any way discount how well Greenwich's defense played. I don't really know what to make of them. And yeah, I'm kind of curious. St. Joe's has had a brutal schedule, but once they get to like-sized teams, I like their chances.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I was looking at the stakes, rankings earlier. And when you look at St. Joe's, they play double L, 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 double L, double L, double L. And then you look at the teams ahead of them, S, double S, M, double M, L. Like, it's like, you know, I don't know what the right answer is, you know, but they get credit for the tough schedule because they're going to most likely get in even with another loss. But, like, man, they just go through a meat grinder week in, week out. Same thing with Wilton. You know, Wilton, the same exact thing. You look at the teams ahead of them. Besides Windsor, Windsor plays all L and double L schools. But you look at all the teams in front of them, they all play S, double S, M, double M. And then you look at Wilton, it's all L's and double L's. You know, so it's just, you know, you feel for those two schools because every school they play against, unless they're playing against each other, they're playing a school that is much bigger than them.
Yeah, you know, Wilton's going to really rue the loss to Norwalk in week two, but it's interesting. They beat Greenwich, and you know, they're on top of the world, and then they get shut out by New Canaan, and everybody's saying it was an aberration. And then you look at the Darien game, and it was 28-26 late. Darien got a go-ahead touchdown with a few minutes to go, but they played that game very competitively, and it's a tough situation. But I think right now you have to say, and I think it's a legitimate debate in terms of New Canaan, Darien, which team is the better team right now?
Yeah, if I had to vote the top of the FCAC, I would go Darien 1, New Canaan 2. You know, Darien, They're the past couple weeks, their offense has been clicking. You know, they're starting to pull it together. No, I shouldn't say pull it together. That's not the right term. Their facets, all three facets, are improving every week. So I would go Darien 1, New Canaan 2, Staples 3, Greenwich, and then St. Joe's. That would be my rankings.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I did my voting last night in the state poll, and I put New Canaan 3 and Darien 4. And, you know, I certainly can't argue putting Darien ahead of New Canaan at all. It was kind of a pro New Canaan defense vote. And just like of all the four units that I like New Canaan's defense a lot. But on the other hand, I like Darien's defense, I think right now, a little bit more than New Canaan's offense. So I want Thanksgiving to come, and I want to see that game and the Greenwich Staples game. And we really haven't talked a lot about Staples, and they've been kind of on cruise control. So why don't we take our final break here, and we'll come back, and Sean and I will talk a little bit more about these teams and look a little bit more at the games ahead. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
Lives right here on WICC 695.9, the voice of Connecticut. Now, back to the Rudin Report and your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back here for our final segment. We're going to continue with the football talk with Sean Ireland. Sean, you know, it's kind of interesting. Staples, I think we've had Staples 3-4, and we really haven't talked too much about them, and they've had they kind of have been on cruise control, and they get a game at St. Joseph. It's a rare 11 a.m. start. I actually asked Joe on Friday night why 11, and he said it's got to do with daylight savings time and the sun on the field and kind of being blinding and wanting to get the game over because of that. So That's the reason for people wondering why it's 11 a.m. start. I'm kind of curious to see how Staples offense does against the cadet defense, which has been consistently good the whole year.
Yeah, that's good. It's crazy. Like, you're right. The focus, it seems like a lot of our focus is always New Canaan Darien. But Staples is right there. And you know who's a very, a unit on their team that's not getting as much talk as they should is their defense, Dave.
Absolutely.
You know, they're averaging, I think it's like 9 points a game. You know, I think it's actually the same exact as New Canaan. So they got studs on defense. They got studs on the line. You know, that's going to be an interesting game. I think Staples will just wear them down a little bit. It's going to be a tight game, but I think Staples is going to wear them down a little bit and pull away in the end.
It's interesting you said that. First, St. Joe's had only given up 35 points until the Greenwich game, and you can't say that the defense gave up that many points because they really didn't, given the way Greenwich scored. So, I agree with you on that, and it's kind of interesting because I said the Greenwich game, before the Greenwich game, that I thought St. Joseph was going to get worn down in the second half, and it didn't happen. And you look at St. Joe's and how beat up they are with the numbers, and you say St. Joe's is going to get worn down almost every game when they play a good team, but they haven't. But yeah, this could be another defensive struggle. The Greenwich St. Joseph game was a close game, 16-14, until very late.
Yeah, then you just look at St. Joe's schedule. Like what? Like I said last week, who did Joe tick off to get this schedule? You know, they play their crossovers, North Haven, in Bloomfield, and then they go Darien, Greenwich, Staples. You know that, but Joe never complains about it. He's the first one to say, "Hey, we'll play who's on our schedule." But yeah, it's going to be a low scoring game. But I just think Staples just at the end they're just going to pull away.
By the way, just as a note, and I won't give the player's name just for privacy reasons, but anybody who was at the game saw that there appeared to be a really bad injury at the end of the game, where a player was taken off the field, was boarded, put on the board and taken off. Fortunately, it was for precautionary reasons, and he's okay. For anybody who is at the game and wondering, that's worth making note of as well. So, yeah, you know what? It's really hard to pick these five teams. And the thing that'll be interesting is they're in three different divisions, so they're not going to have to worry about beating up against each other. I think we're all almost assuming, and maybe we shouldn't assume, that Darien New Canaan is going to be the first of a two-game series, because we don't know what's going to happen, where they're going to be seated. Very easily, it could be the first of two, but it might not be in the championship round, so we'll have to see how the seeding goes. And then Greenwich Staples the same way. They're both in double L, and that could be the first of two games. Why don't we look ahead also Wilton and Ludlow, which is also an interesting game. It's kind of we haven't talked about it a lot, and it's a top. It's an important game, and it's too bad that Wilton has that extra loss, and they could be playing as well for their state playoff lives. But that's going to be an interesting game, and the best game you could possibly have with the non-top 10 teams that we discuss every week. And can Ludlow get in? And what's the mood, what's the mindset of Wilton after losing two of these three games and playing well in two of them? Are they gonna still have the gas in the tank for this game?
I think they will. You know, EJ does a great job with these kids, and these kids are not only physically tough, they are mentally tough. I would take Haggerty over a lot of players in this league. He's as tough as they come. The leadership on that team, they're going to be prepared. They're not going to take a step back. I think it's a game of the week, to tell you the truth.
It is certainly in terms of the implications, and I agree 100% with Wilton. They're not gonna their mindset basically is right now is we're gonna win out, and if you look at our body of work, it's something if they win out that they're gonna be able to be really proud of, and like I said, there's maybe only one game that they're gonna consider a regret. And you know, it's there. Wilton's a fairly physical team, and you and I were talking on my ride in as we prepped for the show. You know, Ludlow is a little bit more of a finesse team. They, you know, they have an innovative offense. They get very creative. They score points. Sometimes they give up points. Yeah, you made good note on the score looked a little surprising in that Ludlow beat McMahon 27-21. I think it was a closer game than people expected.
You know, close game, you know, and I said it last week, like, don't sleep on Brian McMahon just yet, just because of the athletes they have. But Ludlow came in, they took care of business, and they're right where they need to be, you know. And this game, you know, I don't know. I can't know in the recent future, the history, like, when did they have a game this big, this late in the season? You know, I can't think of one. You know, it's going to be a great game. Hopefully it's a good atmosphere, you know.
Ludlow's fan base has gotten really, really good for home games.
Yeah, they have, but I was shocked. Who did they play? They played Darien, I believe. It was a Saturday, and I was shocked because, you know, looking in the crowd, the place is usually packed, and I don't know, maybe they had things to do, maybe there's other sports going on, you know, but on a Friday night, this Friday, that place is going to be packed. The crowd's going to be loud. They're going to be into it. You know, it's going to be a nice high school football scene, I can tell you that.
No, I agree. I'm kind of curious. I don't know where I'm going to be yet between having football and we're going to have boys soccer state quarter finals. So I'm not sure, but I definitely would like to be there. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So a good show this week. Again, I'm glad we got to give some attention to girls sports. It's important. And again, thanks to Cece Patterson and Sophia Fidalgo Scarapa for joining me. And Sean, as always, thanks a lot again. We'll do this again next week.
Sounds good, Dave.
Okay, that's the Rudin Report Live on WICC. Have a good week, everybody, and we'll see you next Sunday morning.